We're going to be talking this week about the church moving forward. We have to move forward into the future in a proper way if we ever expect to be successful as Christians, as a group of Christians, as individual Christians. We have to always be looking to the future and moving forward. Well, to help us to begin this thought process, I wanted us to in our Bible class today, to talk about God's family. We are a family. And you might remember the song that we sing sometimes, God's Family. The words go like this. We're part of a family that's been born again. Part of a family whose love knows no end. For Jesus has saved us and made us His own. Now we're part of a family that on its way home. There's travel there, right? It says, when a brother meets sorrow, we all feel his grief. When he's passed through the valley, we all feel relief. Together in sunshine, together in rain, together in victory through His precious name. And though some go before us, we'll all meet again, just inside the city as we enter in. There'll be no more parting. With Jesus, we'll be together forever, God's family. Family is important to us, isn't it? I know family is very important to me. We treasure our relationships. I treasure my grandkids. You know, I always thought that grandkids were God's gift to you for not killing your own kids, right? You know, and if I knew grandkids were so great, I'd had them first. But we appreciate our families. We appreciate the memories that we have and the gatherings. I know one of the things that I look forward to every year is Thanksgiving and Christmas, when all the family gathers together and we tell old stories and we share memories about how things used to be, things that we've done, the trouble that old Tommy got into, and things of that nature. These are things we look forward to. And I suppose because of all the fond memories we have of one another and the joy of family, I suppose that this is one of the reasons why God used the concept of a family. To talk about the church. That was for emphasis. But notice in your Bibles, if you will, as we begin our thoughts this morning in Ephesians at chapter 3. In Ephesians at chapter 3, beginning there in verse 14 and verse 15. Here it says, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now notice verse 15. Of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. Here, Paul speaks of the family where? In heaven and where? And on earth. And so he's talking here about a spiritual family. And we often talk about, don't we, how precious our church family is. Have you ever used that phrase, our church family? Well, we are a family. And what I want to do this morning is talk a little bit about God's family. And as we think about God's family, we want to notice some of the various designations that He uses to describe this family. Now, when do I quit so I know how to evaluate my time on that clock up there? 20 after is when I... Okay. So you'll go count at 20 after. So I actually have till 25 after. Okay, so I have to be careful with my time. Now, what time is supper? Well, one of the ways that God evaluates the family is by talking about them as being a brotherhood. Flip over with me in your Bibles to the book of 1 Peter, In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 17, notice there that it says, honor all men, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. The word brother or brethren is found some 319 times in the Bible. In the New Testament, where sister or sisters is used some 22 times, by and large, brother and sister is referring to a physical relationship, but there are times when this is used with regard to our family relationship. You see, we are brothers and sisters in Christ. We talked about my brother a little bit, and I also have a sister. And they are very special to me, that relationship that we have as brothers and sisters. And you probably, if you have brothers and sisters, you're really fond of your brothers and sisters, aren't you? Right? Shake or nod. Do you know that in God's family, even though you live in Brownwood and I'm in Hamilton, we are still brother. You're my sister. You're my brother. You know, we're brothers and sisters in Christ, aren't we? And that's a very wonderful relationship that we have. In 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 9, it says, whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same affliction has been accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. And so he talks here about this brother relationship, this brother-sister relationship. And these stress a relationship between Christians, a relationship that places them as one in Christ. As a brother and sister physically, we are in the same family, right? As brothers and sisters in Christ, guess what? We're in the same family, aren't we? Flip back in your Bibles to the book of Galatians. In Galatians chapter 3, notice with me there, Galatians chapter 3, beginning there in verse 27. Galatians 3 and verse 27, it says, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither bond nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ. And if you be Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. By no means does this remove the distinction between the genders or our unique God-given responsibilities, but it strengthens our understanding of the close relationship that we have as siblings in this spiritual family, the family of God. There's neither bond nor free. We're all what? We're all one in Christ. We're family. I'm no more important than my brother in my physical family, and he's no more important than I am in my physical family. But we are one. We have that blessed relationship. Notice also, flip over in your Bibles to the book of 1 Timothy. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, notice this family relationship here being described. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, beginning in verse 1, it says, rebuke not an elder, but entreat him as a father, and the younger men as brethren, the younger women as mothers, the younger as sisters, with all purity. Here we see that beautiful relationship, right? This family that we have here is talking about fathers and mothers and brothers and sisters, that Christian family that we have one with another. And so not only are we brothers or a brotherhood, but also the Bible refers to this family relationship as what we're called sometimes children of God. It's this word child or children is used some 168 times in the New Testament. 80% of the time, it's referring to a physical family. However, there are times when it's also used referring to a spiritual relationship. For example, look in your Bibles in Romans chapter 8 and verse 16. In Romans chapter 8 and verse 16, it says, "The Spirit Himself beareth witness with our spirit that we are what? The children of God." Now, we might just take a side note just for a moment and say, how does the Spirit bear witness with our spirit? He does it through the Word of God, doesn't He? God's Word teaches us that we are what? The children of God. And just think about that for a moment. We are what? The children of God. That's pretty special, isn't it? Think about it. Children of God. Now, there might be somebody famous that thinks they're pretty important because they are a child of, let's just say, I like Roger Staubach. And a guy who, I don't even know if he has kids or not, but let's just say he has a son, and he's proud to be what? The son of Roger Staubach. Well, I got something better than that, Mr. Staubach. I'm a child of God. And that tops any daddy, any father, doesn't it? So not only are we a brotherhood, and not only are we children in this family, but also we are referred to as the household of God. Let's turn over in the book of Ephesians chapter 2 for a moment. Ephesians chapter 2, let's read verses 19 and 20. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 and 20. "Now, therefore, you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone." He calls these saints, these Christians, He calls them what? The household of God. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verses 14 and 15 speak of the same idea of being of the household of God. And we are told in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 21 that we have a priest, a great high priest, over the household of God. Look also in your Bibles in the book of 1 Peter. In 1 Peter chapter 4, in verse 17, First Peter chapter 4, verse 17. It says, "For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God, and if it first began at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God?" The house of God. So, in talking about this family relationship and we're being a part of a family, we have here that we are what? We're brethren, right? We are children. We are the house of God. But notice something else. God in this relationship is referred to as what? Our Father. Turn over in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 8. In this relationship, God is our Father. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 5 and 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verses 5 and 6, it says, "For though there be that are called gods, whether in heaven or earth, as there be many gods, and lords many, but unto us there is but one God, who? The Father, of whom are all things, and we in Him, and one Lord Jesus Christ, by whom are all things, and we by Him." Father. And since God is our Father, what does that make us? His children. And we need to remember this family relationship. If your father is still alive, how did you treat your father? Or how were you supposed to treat your father? With respect and obedience, right? Love. And when you did what was right, what did your daddy do? He commended you. He was happy. But when you disobeyed your father, what did he do? I don't know about your daddy, but my daddy gave me a whooping. And I got a lot of whoopings. I think I got all the whoopings from my whole family. I don't think my brother or sister ever got any, because my daddy used them all up on me. But in that relationship with our Father as children, He will bless us and He will be happy with us and He will encourage us when we're faithful to Him. But on the other hand, when we disobey Him, His wrath will come upon us, won't it? Now, thinking about Him as your Father, I want you to notice something else in John chapter 8 and verse 44. John 8, verse 44. And I want you to notice the contrast that we have here. In John chapter 8 and verse 44, it says, "Ye are of your father," what? "The devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. For he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." You see, there are only two spiritual families in this world, isn't there? You're either going to be a child of God, or you're going to be what? A child of the devil. Who's your daddy? Who's your daddy? It better be God the Father. Because if you have the devil as your father, you're not a part of God's family. And if you're not a part of God's family, you're not going to receive the blessings that's only available to those in God's family, right? But also, Jesus can be thought of as our elder brother, right? Turn with me in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 3. In Hebrews chapter 3, verses 3 through 6. In Hebrews chapter 3, beginning in verse 3, it says, "For this man was counted worthy of more glory than Moses, inasmuch as he had builded the house, hath more honor than the house. For every house is builded by some man, but he that built all things is God. And Moses was faithful in all things as a servant for a testimony of those things which were to be spoken after. But Christ," what? "As a son over his house, whose house are we," or we are, "if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the glory of the hope firm until the end." You see, Christ is over God's house, God's family, which house we are. And so, in essence, He is like our big brother. Now, in my family, I'm the big brother. Of course, I didn't always do everything a big brother should do, because I picked on my brother and I picked on my sister and I tried to blame things on them and things of that nature. But you know what? I would not allow anybody else to do that. I could beat up my brother, but nobody else better do it. I could pick on my sister, but nobody else better do it. I'm the big brother, and I'm going to take care of my young siblings. Now, of course, Jesus is better than that because He's not going to pick on us. But you know what else? He's always going to be there to help us, to encourage us. And that's exactly what we're told there in Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, in that He intercedes for us. He's there to encourage us and to help us. But you know something? To enter into God's family, there has to be a birth. It is also noteworthy that Jesus uses this idea of birth and compares it to our entrance into that relationship of God's family. I, Tom Moore, my wife calls me Tommy, my mom and daddy call me Tommy, my mama calls me Thomas when I'm in trouble, but I was born into what? The Moore family. If you're not born into my family, then you're not a part of my family. Now, I know there are some parallels, like if I married Carol and now she's a part of the family, you know. Yeah, and these parallels, they can only go so far. But to be a true member of the family, you're born into that family, aren't you? And for us to be a part of God's family, what are we going to have to do? We're going to have to be born, right? Well, look in your Bibles there in John at chapter 3. In John at chapter 3, beginning in verse 3, Jesus answered and said unto him, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again or born anew, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus saith unto him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of the water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven." We are born into the family. The parallel passage of this would be Acts 2 and verse 38, right? "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost." And when they did that, in Acts 2 and verse 47, what did it say? The Lord added them to the church, and the church is what? It's the family of God. And so you cannot be a part of the family of God, and you cannot be His children, and He cannot be your father until you've been born again. It's not a physical birth. And Nicodemus said, "Well, what are you talking about? How can I enter a second time in my mother's womb?" I'm talking about a spiritual rebirth. And when you're baptized, immersed in water for the remission of your sins, you're born again. And thus you're added into the family. And the Bible also talks about how that we are adopted too, right? And so you may have children who you adopt into the family. Well, does a mother of an adopted child love that child as much as one that is born into the family? Yes. And so we are adopted into the family. There's another way of looking at it. But we have to be a part of the family, right, to get to heaven. Now, this family relationship that we have is something that is very important and very valuable because there are some great parallels that we have here. For example, when you're part of a family, it denotes a sense of belonging. It is wonderful to know that we have a place in the family of God, that we belong to the greatest family in all the world. It's a great feeling. Do you know why there are some people today, why a lot of these young kids are getting involved in gangs? You know what they're missing? They're missing a sense of belonging. They're missing that family relationship. And so the gang becomes what? Becomes their family. We need that sense of belonging, don't we? Because it is in this family relationship, this sense of belonging that we have as a part of the family, that we have comfort. When the little child's hurt, who does the child run to? Some stranger on the street? They're going to run to who? Most of the time they're going to run to mama. But they're going to run to mama or daddy. Because for some reason, mama knows how to make it better. And when my kids, Joshua, my son, who's in college right now, he's my baby, I used to tell him when he gets hurt, I said, if you rub it, you're a sissy. So guess who he didn't come to when he was hurt? I said, man, I had worse scratch on my eyeball than I had than that. But thank goodness everybody's not like that. We have mothers. We need that comfort from God because He is like a mother to us in that regard. The relationship that we have, the comfort that we gain. Now, when I think about this, the passage that always comes to my mind is found in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. About this comfort and this relationship that we have with one another. For example, in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, beginning in verse 3, now notice in this passage, in these first few verses here, we have the word comfort or comforted found some 10 times. Beginning in verse 3, it says, blessed be the God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our tribulation, that, notice, we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble, now notice, by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. That's a wonderful passage. Because He's telling us here that when we have difficulties in life, and God gives us comfort and strength through His Word, and we gain that strength, that encouragement, you know, what did He say then? The comfort that you've gained, what do? You give it to somebody else. With that same comfort you got from God, you share with somebody else. What do you mean, preacher? Well, let's just say you've lost a loved one. And God comforts you, and you gain strength from God and from His Word, and you gain all this strength, and you've been comforted, and now somebody else in the family loses a loved one. Who better to go and comfort them than somebody else who has gone through the same thing, right? That's why we're a family, because in this family, we all go through various trials. And somebody else in the family is probably going to be going through the same thing you go through. Maybe you've lost your job sometime. Now somebody else has lost their job. Maybe somebody's having trouble with one of their children. You had trouble with one of your children. And so you do what? As a family, you do what? You comfort one another. That's one of the wonderful things about family. Not only the physical family, but most importantly, what? The spiritual family. But notice also this family relationship signifies, well, a relationship. It's unique because this family relationship demands certain things. In 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 1 and 2 that we read a moment ago, it talked about the fathers and the mothers and the sisters. And then it ends up in verse 2, with all purity. There is a demand that is made on the family that you act appropriately. I know one thing. If my brother or my sister begin to do things that are contrary to God's law, you know the first one that would be in their face about it? Would be me. I'd say, John, that is not right. Anita, that's my sister, I would say, that is not right. And you know better than that. Wouldn't you do that? If you really loved them, if your brother or sister was doing something that was going to hurt them or hurt their family, wouldn't you say something about it if you really loved them? Wouldn't you? No, I wouldn't, because I hate my old brother. Well, shame on you if you have that feeling. What about the spiritual family? What if a brother or sister is doing something that's going to hurt themselves spiritually? Are we just going to sit back and not say anything about it? Well, maybe it'll go away. It don't go away. It just gets worse. Well, I don't want to hurt their feelings. You know what? If I'm trying to help them get to heaven, I don't care if their feelings are hurt. Because you know what usually has to occur before a person repents? What has to happen before they repent? Their feelings got to get hurt. Godly sorrow does what? Worketh or leadeth to repentance. I guarantee if my brother was doing something I didn't like and I got in his face about it, he probably wouldn't like it at first. But you know what's going to happen later on? He's going to say, thank you, big brother, for helping me. And I have a lot more to say, but I'm going to end with this one thing. In a family, we need to realize that it draws a line. Everybody is not in the family of Moore. Maybe people wish they were. But in like manner, not everybody is in the family of God. Right? Yet to be born again. And merely running with the family doesn't make you a member of the family, right? Any more than simply standing in a chicken coop makes you a chicken. Just because you come in the door and you sit in a pew, it don't make you a part of the family, does it? And that is one of the things that's really causing trouble in our world today, is because people are trying to blur this line of distinction. Some people say, well, pretty much everybody's in the family of God, aren't they? No. Well, if everybody's in the family of God, why worry about anybody? Right? No, it draws a distinction. And let's also remember, 1 Corinthians 12 talks about how that every member of the family is important, right? Every family. Everybody can't be the eye, right? If everybody was an eye, what would be the hearing? If everybody was an ear, what would be the seeing? And you know, even the more comely or the not so pretty parts are important. They ever look at your big toe? I think I got one of the ugliest big toes in the world. But just try to live without your big toe. How successful will you be to walk and run? Not very, right? Every member of the family is important. We're God's family. Let's live like it. Appreciate your attention.